Thank you, Steve, for leading in band. What an incredible time. Incredible time of worship this morning. I do want to start out by apologizing to a young lady this morning. She was in my youth many years ago, and I went and introduced myself. And she said, "This is who I am. I was in your youth group. You were my youth pastor. And so I would like to give a special welcome to you and your family, wherever you are this morning. Very exciting to have you with us this morning. Good to see you." Incredible. Need a moment after that incredible time with our Lord and Savior as we were worshiping. Yeah, let's pray again. Holy Spirit, we invite you to fill us anew this morning. God, would you speak to us through your Spirit? Would you transform our lives? And as we have declared through song the truths and promises of your word, Father, may it resonate in our hearts and in our minds, and so too draw us into a closer relationship with you. Still our hearts, still our minds, calm ourselves so that we are able to just continue to focus and worship you this morning. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Have you ever felt like you just needed a fresh start? A moment where you just hit the reset button so that you can leave the past behind. Maybe it was a mistake that haunts you, a regret that won't let go, a hope that didn't work out the way that you thought it would. And when enough of those pile up, you don't just feel regret, you start to feel resignation. You wonder, is it too late for me? Could anything really change? That's exactly how Jesus' disciples felt that first Easter. They had followed Jesus for 3 years. They believed he was the Messiah, the one who would rescue, restore, and reign. But instead of a throne, there was a cross. Instead of a kingdom, there was a tomb. And with that sealed grave, all of their hopes were buried too. This wasn't how it was supposed to end. But then Sunday came, and the angels tell the perplexed mourners who are looking into the empty tomb that Jesus is not here, he is risen. The angels, in fact, in Luke 24 ask, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He, Jesus, he's not here. He is risen." And so the resurrection of Jesus shattered their despair and opened the door to something no one saw coming. A new beginning. This morning I want to look at three truths of the resurrection. Firstly, the resurrection opens the door to a new beginning. God brings life to what is dead. Secondly, resurrection power transforms us from the inside out, gives us a whole new identity. And thirdly, we are made new and then learning to live new, walking in resurrection power. So firstly, the resurrection opens the door to a new beginning. God brings life to what is dead. Luke 24, 1 to 6, the first part of verse 6 says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen.' The women came to the tomb carrying spices. They were carrying grief. They were And they weren't expecting resurrection. What they were expecting was to anoint a corpse, a dead body. And in many ways, they were carrying more than just the burial spices that morning. Because along with that, they were carrying crushed dreams, unanswered prayers, and shattered expectations. The disciples, they had hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem them. He was the one to save them, to rescue them, but now he's dead. Everything that they had staked their lives on had come to an end. Or at least that's what it seemed like. Have you been there? Where what you hoped for would happen didn't? Where you prayed for something and it still fell apart? Where you believed that changes were in fact possible, and then the old patterns just came rushing back? Perhaps for you it's a marriage that's hanging on by a thread, a child that's walked away, an addiction that just will not let go, or the weight of shame, the weight of fear that you just can't seem to shake. You're not just carrying the past, you're wondering if a new beginning is even possible. Is it even possible at all? How can this be made new? And that's exactly where the resurrection meets each one of us. The tomb was empty, not just for Jesus, but for you. God doesn't just rewrite the end of his story. He rewrites yours as well. For the believer, follower of Jesus, this means that you never have to live as if death has its final word. Even when life feels stuck, even when it feels like things will never change, God has already proven that he brings life to what looks dead. And perhaps you're here and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. And for the one who doesn't yet believe, this means that there is hope that goes far beyond effort or religion. You don't have to fix yourself. You don't have to pretend that everything is fine, that everything is going to be okay. Jesus invites you to come just as you are. And the resurrection is God's way of saying, it's not over, because I'm not done. The resurrection opens the door, but stepping into the new life beginning means more than just leaving the past behind. Because here's the deeper truth. God doesn't just rescue you from something. He remakes you into something new. The resurrection opens the door to a new beginning. But God doesn't just stop at opening the door. He invites each one of you to walk through it. Because Easter isn't just about turning the page. It's about becoming a whole new person. God doesn't just bring life to what feels dead. He brings transformation to who you are. And that brings us to the second truth we see in the resurrection. That resurrection power transforms us from the inside out. Gives us a whole new identity. The empty tomb isn't just about a changed situation. It's about a transformed identity, a new person, a new identity. Jesus just didn't rise so you could try harder. He rose so that you could become someone entirely new. Have you ever wished that you could just be somebody entirely new because you just want to get rid of that old life? Well, Jesus invites you to do that. You are not a renovation. You are a new creation. If the resurrection opens the door to a new beginning, then here's what the new beginning actually looks like. Not just cleaned up, not patched over, but made new. Because here's the thing. So many of us, we just settle for the renovation. We think if we can just patch up a few cracks here and there, cover over the worst parts, maybe throw a coat of paint on our lives, that'll be enough. That'll do it. But the gospel isn't about cosmetic change. It's not spiritual self-improvement. Jesus didn't rise so that you and I could be just touched up. Because those cracks will inevitably reappear. He rose so that you and I could be completely remade. A woman named Rachel had everything that looked like success on the outside. She had a steady job, she had two kids, a husband, a busy calendar, an active social life. But inside, she was running on empty. There was nothing left. There was nothing there. Years of quiet insecurity, unhealed wounds, and trying to be enough for everyone had worn her down. She knew how to show up with a smile, but at night, the questions and the doubts haunted her. Is this all there is? She wondered. Why do I still feel so incredibly empty? Why do I feel that there is no purpose in my life? Why do I feel that there's no purpose to my life or what I'm doing? I mean, she had tried all the self-help books, the therapy podcasts, even church on and off. But nothing seemed to really change her. She still felt like she was carrying broken versions of herself underneath everything. Underneath the mask that she wore. And perhaps you can relate with her story on some level. But then a friend invited her to attend her life group at their church. And they were going through the Gospel of John. And one night as they read about the resurrection, the leader said, "Jesus didn't rise from the dead to help you manage your mess. He rose to make you new." I like that. I really like that. Jesus didn't rise from the dead to help you manage your mess. He rose to make you new. What better hope is there than that? And something in Rachel broke free. She realized she didn't need a renovation. What she needed was resurrection. That night she prayed, "Jesus, I give you all of it. My fear, my failure, my pretending. Make me new, Jesus. Please make me new." And he did. And he did. And today, Rachel is still a busy mom doing life. But it's built on a whole new foundation. Her peace doesn't come from performance. Her identity isn't held together by pretending. Rather, she's learning to live every day in the new life that Jesus is giving her. Because becoming a new creation is a miracle, but living a new life is a journey. It's a journey. Because here's the reality. Even after the resurrection power changes us, we still have to learn to walk in that new identity. The old life is gone, yes, but it doesn't always let go without a fight. So the question becomes, how do you live out this new life Jesus has given you? How do you live out this new identity that is now yours? How do you keep walking in resurrection power when the pull from the past is still very real. And that brings us to the third truth today, that we are made new, and through the power of Jesus' resurrection, we are learning to live new lives. If the resurrection opens the door to a new beginning, then here's what that new beginning actually looks like. Again, we're not just cleaned up. We're not patched over, but we are made completely new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone, absolutely anyone, is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creature. He has become new. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And this is where many struggle, isn't it? Because we try to live a new life while still carrying the old labels. We try to live a new life still hanging on to the past or burdened by the past, defined by our past failures, our secret regrets, and our shame. But the reality of the resurrection is the old self died with Christ. Romans 6:4, the last part says, "Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." The life you now live is not defined by who you are, but it's defined by who Jesus is. For the believer, the follower of Jesus, this is your core identity. You're not your past. You're not your mistakes. You're not what others said about you. In Christ, you are God's child, fully forgiven, fully loved, fully new. For the not yet believer, this is the invitation. Not to behave better, but to be made new. To let go of the pressure to measure up and have it all together, and instead receive a new identity gifted to you by grace, by God's grace. And if the resurrection opens the door to a new beginning, and if that new beginning makes us entirely new from the inside out, then the question is, how do we actually step into that life? Because resurrection power isn't automatic. It's available, it's promised, but it's not passive. New life doesn't begin when you try harder or clean yourself up, try harder to clean yourself up. New life comes when you get to the end of yourself, when you stop striving, when you stop pretending, stop holding Jesus at arm's length. That's the final movement of resurrection life and the invitation it brings. The message of Easter isn't that Jesus gives you a second chance. It's that he offers you a new life. But to receive that new life, you must surrender yours. In order to receive that new life, you must surrender yours. And this is the hardest step for many. Because what surrender means is, surrender means trust. It means letting go of control. Man, do we wrestle with letting go of control? Surrender means giving Jesus not just the parts of your life that you're proud of, but also the ones that you want to hide. And hear this. The only life that Jesus cannot redeem is the one that you won't release. Surrender is where resurrection power meets real life. For the believer, for the follower of Jesus, this means living each day with open hands. God, I surrender my life to you each and every day. And sometimes I have to do that each and every moment of every day. God, I surrender my life to you. It means continually submitting your plans, your pain, your identity, your purpose, back to Jesus. You don't move past surrender, you grow deeper into it. And for the not yet believer, this is the moment the story changes. It's not about getting religious. It's not about checking the boxes that we did all of the things. It's not about being or doing better. It's about acknowledging that you were never meant to be your own Savior. Jesus did not rise from the dead simply to be your life coach. He rose to be your king. And he invites you to lay down your old life because he so desires to give you a new one. This is where the power of new beginning truly takes root. Not in trying harder, but in trusting deeper. I know we live in a society that has trust issues. And I get it. But Jesus is one who can be trusted. And perhaps when you heard me introduce the sermon this morning, you were thinking, could anything really change? I've been there. Could anything really change? And I've asked that question. Could anything really change? And the resurrection says yes. Because Jesus lives, your story isn't over. My story isn't over. And I'd like to invite the band up again. The resurrection is more than a moment in history. In fact, it's the turning point of eternity. And it can be the turning point of your life. Because of Jesus, a new beginning is possible. No matter what your past, no matter your pain, no matter your doubts, he opens the door. He gives you a completely new identity. This is the new person. And he invites you into this new life through surrender. So the question is, will you step into that new beginning? For the follower of Jesus, perhaps today is a callback to live to the life you've already been given. To stop living as if death still has a grip on you, has power over you. To stop carrying old labels. And Jesus already buried, he dealt with at the cross. To once again say, yes, Jesus, I surrender. Have all of me. And for the not yet believer, this is the invitation of Easter. Stop running. Stop pretending. And just simply say, Jesus, I believe. I surrender my life. Forgive me. Make me a new creation. Give me a new person. Make me a new person. Give me a new purpose. A new lease on life. Romans 10:9 says, if we confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm just going to close in prayer, but before I do, we are going to sing one last song. And after the last song, if there's anybody here that needs prayer, whether it's in response to the sermon, whatever is going on in your life, we'll have a couple people come up and they'll be here at these benches, and they're going to be willing to pray with you. And in fact, that's something that we're going to implement for all of our services from today forward, is that we'll have a prayer team available for those who need prayer after the service. So it'll be after the song. Let's pray. Actually, I'll invite you to stand. We're going to stand as we sing this last song. risen Lord Jesus, thank you that the resurrection is more than a moment in history. It's the turning point of eternity, and today it can be the turning point in our lives. Thank you that no matter our past, no matter our pain, no matter our doubts, you open the door to new beginning. You offer us forgiveness. You offer us freedom and a new identity. You don't ask us to fix ourselves. You just call us to surrender. And so for the believer today, we pray for a fresh surrender. Help us stop living as though death has a hold of us. Help us let go of the old labels that you already buried. Renew our hearts with resurrection power. Fill us again with the joy of our salvation and the strength to walk in newness of life. And for those who are still searching, still unsure, Jesus, we pray this would be the moment that they stop running and say, yes, Jesus, I believe. I surrender. Forgive me. Make me new. Be my Savior and my King. You are alive. You are mighty to save. And because you live, our story isn't over. We praise you, O risen King. And we pray this in the power of Jesus' name. I just want to share this benediction with you this morning. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will according equip you with every good thing that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through the Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.